Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel lesson of this first Sunday in Lent. It's found in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city. He placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not test the Lord your God." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, "I will give you all of these things if you will bow down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and just then angels came and served him. This is our text. Dear people of God, the devil defeated Adam and Eve very easily and very quickly, using temptations that were very similar to the temptations he threw at Jesus, our Savior. There were a few differences. Adam and Eve were living in the paradise of the Garden of Eden with all the fruit and the food they could possibly need. And yet the devil got them by offering them food. And with the temptation to be like God, who was actually their very good friend at the time. Jesus, on the other hand, defeated the devil's temptation of food while he was living in the desert, where there was no food. Jesus defeated the devil's temptations of food and glory. The devil is a fool. You cannot defeat God Almighty. But like the world around us, he tried. For the devil is never reasonable. All he does is try to destroy. Do not play with him. Do not try to reason with him. Do not try to reason against him. Just let Jesus handle him. For Jesus defeated the devil for you. Jesus was hungry. He fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew has to add the 40 nights, because most people in the world, when they fast, do so only in the daylight. At nighttime, then they eat. Jesus fasted for the whole 40 days, 960 hours. And you might say, well, that's impossible. Anybody who did that would die. And you're right. Any normal person would die if they did that. But this is Jesus. This is God himself. We ought to remember that. He is invincible. He cannot die. That's what being God is all about. And so Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he lived. And he was hungry. That's when the devil comes. The devil comes when we are weak. The devil comes when we are easy prey. He came to Jesus with his suggestion to turn stones into bread. And the act itself would not be sinful. Jesus did much crazier things. In fact, I think it's kind of close. Chickens eat stones, and we eat chickens, and wheat grows among stones. It's kind of close, isn't it? No? Well, the sin here would have been to follow the devil's directions. The church fathers talk about the devil's temptation here of one of vanity. The problem is not in the miracle itself, but rather earlier what the devil said. If you are the Son of God, prove to me who you claim to be. But Jesus shows us so plainly, you don't play games with the devil. The devil is described in the Bible as a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But he's also described in the Bible as being chained, which means the devil can go only so far and then he has to stop. The Lord has put a limit on him. But we smart and brave humans will often go and poke the lion. We'll step over the velvet rope. We'll go up and pet the pretty little kitty. Oh, he's so cute. Look at his horns. He's not so scary. So often we ask for trouble when we go play in the devil's realm. Jesus did not play at all with the devil. Rather, Jesus defeated the devil with the word of God. More specifically, he used the book of Deuteronomy to defeat the devil of all things. That's where all of Jesus' passages come from in this episode. Jesus lived in the law of God. Jesus is the man of Psalm 119 who says, I delight in your law, O God. How many of us could quote the book of Deuteronomy and do so properly and do so in a time of high stress? The passage of Deuteronomy that Jesus used to defeat the devil here was, of course, spoken by Moses when he was describing how the Lord kept his people, the Israelites, alive using that miracle food, the manna. God himself fed his people. They did not plow and reap out there in the wilderness. They did not live by natural means. They lived by God's will and by God's word alone. So also Jesus depended on the Father's blessing alone to live. And with that, the devil was defeated. But he doesn't give up. The devil comes back. Oh, you want to quote scripture, eh? Well, I can do that too. And he took Jesus to the highest point of the temple of Jerusalem with all the people standing down there, and he says, jump. The temptation here again is vanity, but a little different. It's not the vanity to prove who he was, but rather this is a vanity of faith. It's a boasting to prove the power of God. It's a very clever temptation. Let's say that Jesus does. He jumps. And he falls all the way down and lands unharmed. Oh, how the people would praise the Lord. Or would they? We fall for this one all the time. Faith in the God of the Bible is rarely enough for us. We always want something else. We want something more. Lord, if you're there, do this for me. Show yourself. Prove your love and your power. The born-again crowd throws this in our faces all the time. Oh, sure, you believe in Jesus, but when were you born again? When did you invite Jesus into your heart? Don't fall for it. It's the same temptation. It's the devil come in sheep's clothing, wearing a scripture costume. The devil here quoted Psalm 91, which is very sneaky. For Jesus is using the boring old law. The devil uses the beautiful Psalms that we love so much. And he tries to play scripture off of itself, which is the trick of the false teacher. You can always tell when you're talking to a false teacher. Just listen to him. If someone says that the Bible contradicts itself, you're listening to a false teacher. Because the Bible's in perfect unity. These passages do not fight each other. Just stop trying to smash them together. Let them stand. They are all true in themselves. What the devil does here is that he omits verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 31. For yes, the psalmist does say, he will give a command to his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. But first, the psalmist said, if you make the Most High your shelter, evil will not overtake you. These promises are for God's people who are striving to live under God in his word, in his kingdom. You can't shoot yourself in the head and then say, God, why didn't you stop me? God's people live in his word, in his forgiveness, in his mercy, in thanksgiving for him. We live to serve him, not to test him. That's what Jesus does with his second Deuteronomy quote here. He says, you shall not test the Lord your God. I hide in the Lord. I don't live to push him. The Lord is my Savior and my rock and my Redeemer and my shelter. He's not a genie. He's not a fame maker. He is the Lord. I listen to him. I don't live to make silly demands of him. Clobbered, the devil gets right to the chase. He took Jesus to a high mountain, and using his demon tricks, he shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Now, this is the easiest temptation to identify, but it's the most alluring for someone in Jesus' situation. For the devil knew what the Son of God was doing on earth. We've seen the devil knows the scriptures. He knows the book of Isaiah. He knows how the Messiah is described as the suffering servant of the Lord. The devil shows us that he understood God's plan to save sinners by the suffering and death of his own Son, an understanding that we're not even sure that the good angels had. The Son of God came on earth on purpose to suffer and die for us sinners. Jesus, of course, knew what was coming. Jesus lived his whole life knowing the end, knowing the terrible suffering of the cross was coming. But more than that, he knew about how he would have to carry the sins of the world, all sins of all time, including yours and mine. And the devil offered Jesus here a shortcut, a way out of it. I will give you the kingdoms. I'll give you all these people without you having to go and suffer on the cross. Our Lutheran forefathers came up with a term, Das Liebe Kreuz. It means the dear cross. And that's an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense because nobody loves the cross in this world. But the Lutheran has been taught that when we have troubles, the Lord is closest to us, that he's here to help us and to carry us. And so we love the cross. We love our troubles because in them we see our God. We see that he is here to help us through them. I love the movie, The Passion of the Christ. You should watch it during Lent. Yeah, it's full of Catholic fables, but it's made very, very well. Well, when they have Jesus on Golgotha, ready to nail to the wood, there's just a little snippet of him holding on to the cross. And the Roman soldiers are laughing at him for hugging his cross, hugging Das Liebe Kreuz. I have no doubt that actually happened. We love the cross. And especially we love Jesus' cross. Because on the cross, Jesus paid for every one of our sins. He bought our souls with his holy precious blood shed upon that cross. And with this temptation, the devil offers him a way out of the cross, which would totally undo all of that. It was the Father's will that Jesus suffer on the cross. It was Jesus' will that he suffer on the cross along with the Holy Spirit. And since Jesus worshiped the Lord our God and served him only, there is no way he was going to give up the dear cross. For worshiping God is not just not worshiping the devil. Worshiping God includes actively fulfilling all of God's will. As Jesus said on Tuesday of Holy Week, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, this is the reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And with that, Jesus cast Satan, the great accuser, the adversary, aside. And the good angels came to him with real nourishing food for his earthly body. Oh, the devil would come again. He would come again inside of Jesus' good friend Peter. He would come in the trusted Judas. And he would certainly come to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to try to convince him that these human beings are just not worth dying for. But like here, Jesus defeated the devil every single time because he is the Savior, because he is God's own Son, because he is God's chosen champion, the Redeemer, the only hope of salvation. For he is Jesus the Christ who defeated the devil for you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.